Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and reading verses 1 to 23. I guess a number of months ago, I don't know how many exactly, but we were engaged in a study of the kings of Judah, and then we left that off for a while and many other things got in the way, so we're returning back to that series of sermons. This is a recap, really. We're going to do this one and then carry on. So we'll have one repeated so we know where we were. So 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 1 to 23. So this is about the king Uzziah. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur-Baal, and against the Minuites. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress of the wall. Then he fortified them. He also built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies according to the number on their roll, as prepared by Jeiel the scribe, and Messiah, the officer, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600. And under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. When Uzziah prepared for them, Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men, to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz wrote. So Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in a field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Dear people of God, we are faced in this passage with a king who, to say the least, enjoyed a lot of success during his reign. A long reign, 52 years. God helped him both at home and abroad, we might say, that he brought stability to Judah, strength to Judah. But he was remembered for being a leper. I mean, all of these things that God did through him, and yet when he was written about, he was known as a leper. What a contrast between the other leper in the Old Testament. Naaman, who started out very proud. Remember, he didn't want to wash in the river Jordan. He wanted one of his rivers. I mean, this is a dirty river. I mean, it was so humiliating for him. And how dare the prophet not turn up? I mean, doesn't he know who I am? He's so proud. And he was about, well, he started to go away. Forget it, he said, until his servants intervened. Even though he's a leper, he acted so proud. And yet, of course, God touched him, and he became a believer, and he was cleansed. And he was so humbled then. Oh, he wanted to take dirt from Israel back to his country so that he could worship God. But this king, that had all the blessings and the privileges of being in the country of God, began very humble, but ended up so proud. He began being a mighty king, ended up being a leper. Pride is an awful thing because it leads us to be detached from God. Because we don't look to God, we look to ourselves. We have everything that we need, we think, whether it be the fact that our pride is based on power or whether it's based on money, or whether it's based on skills that we might have, whatever it's based on, it causes us to turn our eyes away from God and towards those things, which really they end up being idols. They end up being substitute gods. The things that we look to for help and confidence rather than God himself. And of course, as we know, as we read, that is the essence of sin. That was the sin of the devil. Pride. That even though he was blessed by God with everything, he was one of the highest angels, given all the privileges, yet it wasn't enough. You see, pride is never satisfied. Oh, I know maybe in our hearts and people speak that way, oh, if I had $1 million, I'd be so content. But there's tons of people with $1 million, but they're not content. Or maybe say 10 million. Well, there's plenty of people with 10 million. There's plenty of people with $1 billion, and they're still not content. The secret, dirty secret is, we're never content. Pride is never content. Just like hell is never content. It always wants more and more sinners. And so we need to be careful of this sin, pride. In fact, as you know, the Apostle Paul, I mean, God saw it necessary to give the Apostle Paul a thorn in the flesh for this very reason, to keep him humble. So even though we may be a great Apostle Paul, yet this sin is not, we're not immune to this sin. And in fact, with Paul, as I said, God took that extra step, not only to warn him, but to provide a continual reminder to him. Because the best of us fall into this sin. As it says, the scripture says, pride goes before a fall. And that is repeatedly exemplified for us in the scriptures. Pride does nothing but accomplish strife between people, but of course between God and us. And so this king is a living example, real life example of the dangers of pride, and a warning to each and every one of us. So first of all, in this passage, we see a humble obedience. As I said, lest we think pride is only for people that, you know, have everything. Well, no, look at this. Look at King Uzziah. He started out well. Verses 1 to 15 really give, if only it could have stopped at verse 15 about him, would have been wonderful, but it doesn't. Sad to say. Verses 1 to 15, humble obedience. In verses 1 to 5, we're told that he sought God. He sought after God. He began when he was 16 years old, which is, in some way, just a young lad, really, 16 years old. But God took him and made him king. His father had suffered a defeat at the hands of Joash, king of Israel. And so the people took him and made him king instead of his father. And we're told that he did right in the sight of God. Not right in terms of what he thought was right, but he did right what was right in the eyes of God. And he used all the avenues that God provided for him. And that's why we're told that Zechariah was a prophet. He received visions of God, from God, and he also had understanding. So not only did he receive revelation from God, but he preached it to others. He told others about it. He taught others about it. And so Uzziah availed himself of this avenue of grace. So Uzziah didn't act as though, well, I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. I don't need anyone instructing me in anything. But rather, he listened. He didn't think it was inappropriate for the king, who had all this power, to be instructed by Zechariah. He didn't think that there was anything odd about that. But people do think that way, though. I mean, you can be in a church where maybe there's a young minister. There are many people that are older than he is. Probably wiser than he is. Maybe there are people more influential. Maybe there's businessmen in the church. And here's this younger minister. Or it doesn't even have to be a younger minister. It can be an older minister. But still, he is outdone, as it were, by those in the congregation. There may be doctors sitting there, professors sitting there. But do they have this attitude of, we don't need to be instructed? We don't have to take it from him. What does he know? We have all this intellect, we have all this influence, we have all this power. We have the president of the United States attending the church. Supposedly, the most influential man in the world? Have nothing to learn? It wasn't so with Uzziah. He listened. He availed himself of these avenues of grace, as we all should, no matter what our standing in life. We are all paupers in the sight of God. We all need the Word of God. We all need God's grace. We all need God's Spirit. We all need to be enlightened according to His Word so that we follow His Word. Because remember, even if we were the angel like Satan himself and had everything at our hands, when we take our eyes off him, we become nothing. And so he did well as far as that was concerned. He didn't look down on the priests. He didn't look down on the temple. He didn't see prophets as unnecessary. But rather, all of these avenues were avenues that God utilized to help his people. And people like Uzziah was no different than anyone else. He needed that. And so he learned the Word of God from Uzziah. But not only did he learn these truths, but he practiced those truths. So verses 6 to 8 teaches those things. Now he went out and made war against the Philistines, broke down the walls of Gath, the walls of Jabna, and the walls of Ashdod, the built cities around Ashdod, and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines. So he did all of these things. And this was not empire building, you understand. Right? This wasn't motivated by, I want to build an empire. I want to be great. I want to oppress these nations around me. No, he did those in obedience to God. He did those to preserve God's people. He did those to strengthen them, because through God's people, the redemptive purposes of God, God's covenant, was being unfolded. And so that was very central, important, in terms of God's plan of salvation. And so Uzziah didn't embark on all of these things out of personal ambition. But he did these things in obedience to God. He did these things in obedience to what he learned about the purposes of God through his people. It's not an easy thing to go to war, as we know. Not a popular thing to take young men and risk their lives. People soon get tired of that. But Uzziah led these people. He took courage. He trusted in God, because, as it said, God helped him. He did these actions in order to serve God. And we need to do that too. Because we need not only to hear God's word, no matter who we are, what our station in life, not only do we need to hear God's word, but we need to understand it, and then we have to put it into practice. And that takes risk. That takes sacrifice. That takes effort. But that's why God's word is preached. It's not preached so that you may look more intellectual to those that you speak with. That's not the reason. So that your life may be transformed. So your actions, your words, your thoughts might be molded, conformed to the wisdom of God rather than the wisdom of this world. The outworking of God's word is different in each of us. But each of us is called to bear fruit to God's honor and God's glory. And so he took all of these actions to secure God's people, because God had a very important purpose for them. And so we're told he built towers around Jerusalem, because that was the city of God. That's where the temple was. So he wanted to protect that. I mean, if there's anything in our life that we need protecting, is our faith. We do all kinds of things to protect our health, to protect our finances, to protect so many things. But the thing that's most important, the things that ought to be central, is that we protect our faith. And Jerusalem was a symbol of our of their relationship with God, because that's where they met God. And so he took the trouble to make sure that it was secure. In fact, the Psalms speak about that, right? The Psalms take the believer and lead them to Jerusalem and encourage the believer to look at Jerusalem, because it epitomizes our faith. It epitomizes our relationship to God. And it talks about, look at the walls, look how strong they are, look how thick they are. In other words, look how secure you are in God. And Jerusalem, in that sense, then, was a picture of salvation. That access that we have to God was right there in Jerusalem in terms of the temple. The temple was something that excited joy in the believers. You remember when they were in exile, they wept, because they were cut off from Jerusalem. And so he had a jealousy about Jerusalem, even as our Lord Jesus Christ did, of course, about Jerusalem, but also about the temple. You remember, he wept over Jerusalem, and he cleansed the temple because it was being abused. Well, Uzziah is doing the same thing. So he builds these fortifications in order to protect and preserve this access that the people, not only the people, you understand, but the rest of the world, because there's only one access to God, which is the temple. And the foreigners would come there. And so he protected it. So he built all of these things and these devices that were invented by skillful men. And they were housed in these towers in order to shoot arrows, I guess, many at a time, and stones to preserve their relationship and access to God. And the soldiers that he used in terms of protecting them from the other nations around, he provided for all that they needed. I mean, he wasn't a person that was oblivious to the struggles of the soldiers, as it seems people are these days. But he was one with them. He knew what they needed, and he provided for them. He numbered them, not to find out how strong he was, but rather he numbered them, and he had officers over them, that he rotated them. Now, he was concerned for their well-being also. And things were going smoothly. His fame spread far and wide. People looked to do spectacular things so that they might have a name. But this king simply did what the Lord directed him to do. And by doing that, in God's eyes, he did well. And so he served God a long time, 52 years. But sad to say, things didn't continue that way. And pride entered the picture. Pride is like, we might say, as they say, a fly in the ointment, or a fly in your soup. However wonderful the soup was, once a fly enters in, you really lose all appetite. Right? You don't just pick the fly out. Well, I hope people don't. Take the fly out, keep on eating. I mean, it spoils the whole thing. I mean, it's like one little drop of poison in a glass of wonderfully cool water. I mean, if you drank it before, it's wonderful. Once that drop of poison goes in, it's no longer consumable without harm. And so, as wonderful as this life was of obedience of Uzziah, no matter how wonderful the devil was as the archangel of God, as soon as that pride entered in, Everything changed. Drastically changed. But notice that this proud rebellion that is covered in verses 16 to 20 arises out of success. Of course, success is a relative term. But it arose in his life out of success. It was when he was strong. It's when he was successful. Under such conditions, pride raises its ugly head. That temptation grows with success. The Bible leads us in our prayers to ask God that he would give us what we need, right? Not too little, it says, lest we complain, and not too much, lest we forget about God. So the believer wants to be in this position where he's not tempted to moan, but neither tempted to boast, to turn away from God. We are warned that when we think we stand, to beware, to be careful, lest we fall. When we think we're doing so wonderful, when we're patting ourselves on the back, watch out. Watch out. Because Satan is right there. As we grow in knowledge, there's a danger that we become puffed up. That's what happened to the Corinthians. In fact, it says, a little knowledge puffs up. I mean, you don't even have to know everything, right? But when we know a little bit more than anybody else, well, then the temptation is for us to spout that out and make them look up to us. You remember the farmer became a rich fool when he had bumper crops, and he knocked down his barns and built bigger ones, and then his speech changed. Sit back. Relax. Have a wonderful time. You have everything that you need. That was his speech. Before, no doubt, he was working hard. But success brought complacency and opened the floodgates of pride. So we need to be careful. The Catechism addresses this by saying, when things go well, our response ought to be thankfulness. When things don't go well, our response ought to be that we look to God, we wait on the Lord. We don't give up. But when things go well, we ought to be thankful, because otherwise we become proud and boastful. So when things are going well in your life, don't think there's nothing for you to do. Just relax. No. That's the time to be the sharpest, because the devil is ready to trip you up. So Uzziah, in this success that he had, allowed pride to enter into his life. Began to think in this way, think so much of himself. And then, once you start thinking like that, you start acting like that. So what did he do? He marched into the temple. He didn't wait for the priests. He didn't worship God through the mediation of the priest, which is what the law of Moses had said. He marched into the house of God, to the temple himself, with censer in hand. He was going to burn incense. And you think, well, what? What happened to him? No, he thought he was so important, so influential, so much in the good books of God, as it were, that somehow he didn't have to abide by God's law. He could go straight in. And so he did. Obviously forgot the scriptures in the days of Moses and Aaron. You remember those that complained and wanted to be like Moses and Aaron. In other words, act as priests. Even though God had made it clear that the priesthood belonged to the family of Aaron and Moses, to the tribe of Levi. And so they wanted to usurp that. And their argument was that we're successful, we're popular, people like us, so therefore we should be able to serve. We've got the votes. And you know what happened? 250 of them lost their lives. And you remember what happened to their censers. They were all beaten. I mean, beaten, you know, metal-wise. And they were put on the altar of incense so that it would be a reminder to anyone else with those foolish thoughts. You can't usurp that. You can't just march in and act in that capacity. It's for God to consecrate and ordain. But Uzziah didn't care. His success puffed him up, that he felt that he didn't have to abide by those rules. He could just do it himself. And sad to say, we're seeing that in the last number of years in terms of the church. That people have become educated. People... And so they think, well, because I have these skills, because I can understand the Bible, because I can even explain it to other people, so therefore I should be allowed to hold offices in the church. And if the Bible says women can't hold offices, well, that doesn't matter. That doesn't hold now. And so they, in pride, disregard the Word of God. But that was a dangerous thing to do. And so even though the priests went in after him, and that was a risk, of course, because he could have had him put to death. I mean, that wasn't unknown. And so they go in after him. Valiant men, it says. Valiant indeed. Because they weren't pushed over like so many in the churches. They didn't think, oh, well, the tide of women in office is so much, we better go with the flow. They didn't do that. With the chief priest and the 80 other priests, they went in after him and they chided him. What are you doing? You can't do that. Even if you're the king, you can't do that. God won't permit it. But of course, he was past hearing. Who were they to tell him? He was a king after all. He was the one that was in charge of the army. He's the one that secured the temple and Jerusalem. He was the one that secured God's people. Who were they to tell him what he could and what he couldn't do? They lived under his protection. And so he didn't listen to what they were saying. And so here he is, about to burn incense. And God intervenes. And right there on his forehead, leprosy breaks out. You see, pride doesn't hear. Pride doesn't listen. And so God utilizes a method that gets past all of that. Here it is, pride. And God addresses it with leprosy. And so everyone can see it. I mean, ironically, isn't that the way it is? The one that has pride doesn't see it. Everyone else can see it so clearly, but no, he can't. So here it is, leprosy. Everyone can see it except the king. And of course, they told him. And they understood that this was from God himself. And so they hurry him out. They obviously communicate that to him, and they hurry him out of the temple. And the word of God says, and he also hurried out himself. They couldn't hurry him out if he didn't want to go. No, no, no. He hurried out too, because he was brought to his senses by this act of God to bring leprosy upon him. People of God, we don't need that, do we? If we do, God will bring it to us. If we're so full of pride, God will humble us. God resists the proud. He will act in his children. He will act in unbelievers too, that act proud. After all, he is a ruler of the earth. So beware. God is not mocked, no matter who you are. I mean, if he did that with the devil, who was the archangel, do you think he's not going to do anything with us? Or that he can't do anything with us? That somehow our resources are so plentiful that nothing can disturb them. Well, that's what the rich fool thought. But it didn't take more than that night for him to see the bankruptcy of his confidence in himself. His soul was asked for him, from him. And he had nothing to answer with. And his barns that were full of crops brought him no relief or comfort. Whatever it is that you have or you think you have, I can assure you, when God addresses your pride, there will be no comfort in those things at all. And so Uzziah is reduced to fleeing the temple of God and having this leprosy. And so here in verses 19 to 26, we're taught about the humiliating restraint that God brought. So he was a leper all the days of his life. It wasn't that he was a leper just for a week or so. He was a leper all the days of his life. Everybody could see it. Every time he came out into the open, people could see what God had done to him. What a difference. I mean, God had blessed him so wonderfully so that when he went out, he was so famous. Everyone knew who he was. Not only in his country, in Judah, but everywhere else. Everybody heard about him. His name was great. That's the way it used to be. But now, every time his name came up, it was associated with his present condition, which was that he was a leper. How humiliating. Not because he had some disease from someone else, that he was infected. No, no, no. It was from God himself. That's the thing. That God had brought him down. And not only does he have this leprosy, but he is isolated. Because lepers, as you know, couldn't live with their families. They had to live outside in the wilderness, outside the camp. They had to warn people that they had leprosy. They had to live alone. And so in this very, very physical way, very tangible way, God's rejection of Uzziah was made clear. He had to live on his own. In fact, in the New Testament, we have the same thing in terms of, in spiritual terms, even though there's a physical element to it, that a member who stubbornly sins and will not listen to the council is to be shunned. That is, other members are to avoid him or her so that they may learn their lesson. No, it's not for vengeance sake that shunning a person is practiced, but really to shame them, to bring them back to their senses. to make very tangible the spiritual state that they're in, which is isolation, separated from God, separated from His people. That's what's being impressed. And it has a purpose of bringing that person back, of making that person desire to come back and to repent. That's the reason for it. But not only is it isolation, as the king had to live on his own, isolated from the people, but he was isolated from God himself. The most sad part of this state of the king was not just living alone, not losing his reign, as it were. The biggest part was that he could never enter the temple of God. No leper was allowed to enter the temple of God. Doesn't mean that he couldn't believe in God, right? I'm not saying that he was an apostate. But the fact is, he didn't have the privilege and the joy of entering the temple of God. How seriously God impresses upon Uzziah, and through him a testimony to everyone else, a witness to everyone else, that we're to serve God, as you know, we were mentioning in our New Year's Eve service, to act justly, obey the word of God, to be humble and not walk in pride, to be those that love mercy, desiring to help other people rather than exploit them for our own advantage. People of God, here is a king, as I said, who reigned 52 years and yet had a terrible end. In fact, even when they buried him, they didn't bury him with the kings of Judah. Why? Because he was a leper. They buried him in a field, isolated even there. Was it worth? Was it worth it for him to allow pride to enter in his life? Was it worth it for the devil to be proud? Did it turn out so wonderfully for him? Did it turn out so wonderfully for Adam and Eve when in their pride they listened to the devil for their own sake rather than to God? No. All history teaches us, and the Bible makes it very clear, that when we allow pride to enter into our hearts, it's for our fall. That's what happens. To live apart from God is death. God resists the proud. When we're proud, then God is our enemy. He's working against us. And you know that he will win. So Uzziah's portion in terms of his life, portion of this book, certainly elevates the danger of this sin of pride. And it, as I said, it has to apply to each and every one of us because, as I said, success is relative. And so we might, in our little world, think we're very successful and begin to be proud. Now, each of us needs to make sure that pride is kept in check. And we can only do that as we continue to understand that we are saved by grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that our purpose in this life is to honor and glorify Him. And that our life is to be a witness of the gospel and not a witness unto ourselves. Now, we have all the glory. We are the children of God. What more glorious thing can you have? We have heaven itself for eternity. What more do you want? You have nothing in this world that you lack. We have everything in Christ. Just enjoy it and glorify Him through your service. And he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the scriptures because they provide us with all that we need for life and godliness. Not only to instruct us in how we should behave, but also instructs us in the sins that we are to avoid. And gives them to us, such warnings to us, in such real life events that we can identify with, that can stick in our minds. And so, our Father, we pray that the sin of Uzziah, indeed the sin of the devil himself, would be a constant warning to us to be humble, to be your servants, to walk in the paths that you've laid out for us in your word, so that we may honor you and that we may enjoy and continue to enjoy your blessings. For we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.